Well, hey everyone, Dave DeBoe at you with another episode of the Property Profits Real Estate Podcast. Today we've got a special guest zooming in, an old friend, a client of ours, William Clark. William, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's my pleasure. So for people that don't know you, first of all, tell us where you are zooming in from. And number two, what kind of real estate investing you're focusing on primarily these days.
Yeah, so I'm zooming in from the beautiful town of Cochrane, Alberta. And my main focus in real estate is multifamily buy and hold. Buy and hold for the last little while.
All right, very good. So when you say multifamily, there's all sorts of multifamily properties. We've got anything from duplexes up to massive apartment complexes with hundreds and hundreds of units. What's the sweet spot for William Clark?
Sweet spot for me right now is between about 6 to 20 units in that low to mid-size multifamily range.
Uh-huh. Very good. And are most of the properties that you invest in, are they in Alberta as well?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. So, William, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. What was it that got you into real estate investing in the first place?
What got me started in real estate investing was I used to watch a lot of these real estate investing shows like Income Property with Scott McGillivray and some of the U.S. flipping shows. And that sort of keyed my interest. And then I was able to attend a 3-hour seminar put on by the Scott McGillivray team. And that really stirred my interest. So after that 3-hour session, we signed up for the weekend, because my wife's my partner in this, in this venture. So we decided to go for a weekend session. And after that weekend, we were like, whoa, this is like earth shattering. There's opportunities everywhere. So we took the plunge literally.
Well, there's a big difference between what you learned at that weekend session and probably your first number of courses. Like, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of what McGillivray talks about is taking a single family home and putting in a secondary suite, turning that into an income property that way. So going from that to 6 units, 8 units, 12 units, 20 units, that's a big leap. How did that happen, Will?
For the last 5 years, we have been investing mostly in single family and duplexes.
Yeah.
And we've had majority of ups and downs with that. But then probably just about the start of the pandemic, we sat down and we took a look at our portfolio and we said, there are opportunities in larger properties. And the advantage with these small to medium-sized larger properties is if you lose a tenant, you only lose 5 or 10% of your income. Whereas in single family or duplex, you can lose 50 or 100% if you end up with a vacancy. So that's
what was the painful experience that you went through that really brought that home for you guys? Was there something that kind of synthesized all of that for you?
Yeah, on a couple of our properties, we had some tenant issues where there was non-payment of rent for various reasons, and it just put a real strain on us, and it made us realize how much we were depending on one tenant to make sure all the bills are paid. Whereas we could pivot ourselves and look and say, oh, there's 6, 10, 20, 20 tenants paying our mortgage. So if one of those goes away, it's only a small piece. Whereas, as I said before, one tenant leaves a single family house or two tenants leave a duplex,
you're kind of hooped. You kind of hooped until you get that next tenant in there. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So, William, start of the pandemic, that's when the light bulb moment went off for you. Yeah. Walk us through what your first small to medium-sized multifamily property looked like. What kind of a deal was that?
Right as the pandemic got started, we were introduced to a new build opportunity up in Edmonton. It was an 8-unit multifamily townhouse, brand new construction. We love the Edmonton market because it's still relatively priced compared to the rest of Alberta and the rest of Canada. So this opportunity was really, and it was in a really good, strong area. There was good employment, good schools, good infrastructure. So that really turned us on. So we decided to put a deposit down right there and then.
After 8 units in that complex? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
So is it like four duplex type townhouses? Four. Or what does it look like?
Four duplex townhouses. There were 3-bedroom, 2-bath on the main floor, and then 1-bedroom, 1-bath on the basement.
Very nice. Awesome. All right. So beautiful. So that was the first one. That's the beginning of the pandemic. Fast forwarding right now, we're towards the end of 2023. What does your portfolio look like these days?
Right now, we have that 8-unit fully tenanted. We just did a refinance with CMHC on that, so we were able to get some equity back out of that.
Congratulations.
And we still have a handful of single-family properties, and we have some passive investments. We have some private equity and some land development and a few other investments as well. But we're looking to start 2024 to look at least 2 10 to 20 unit multifamily deals, and we're currently crunching some numbers right now on some opportunities.
Oh, very exciting. No, that's good stuff. All right, so you bought these. This is really interesting, William. So you bought these 8 units brand spanking new, and it's very interesting because I'm just working with another client that's going through a similar situation with 6 units that they bought brand spanking new. Was there anything about going through that process that was surprising for you? Like, did you have any assumptions about getting into medium-sized multifamily properties that it didn't quite work out according to plan?
Yeah, one of the biggest lessons learned is to have investors in your pocket before you sign on the bottom line, because we had this deal, it looked really good, and then we tried to raise capital after we had the deal under contract. So we were scrambling trying to find deals, and we did get one investor online for a small portion, but we ended up having to fund the majority of it ourselves. So that's our biggest lesson from this process. Yeah,
get your investors lined up first. Okay. Now, the client I'm thinking about, one of his big aha moments was that, you know, he assumed, hey, I'm buying a brand new building. It should be a piece of cake to rent this out really quickly because there's big time demand and whatnot. However, what he found was, yeah, he was able to rent it out, but it was not as easy as he thought it would be because of several things. Number one, that because the units were brand new and empty, they actually looked smaller than they were. Now, I don't think that'll be a case for you guys because it sounds like they're pretty big units, but that was one issue. The other issue was he found that some people don't like the idea of being the first ones in a building. It's too big, it's too empty, it's too lonely, something along those lines. So it took a little longer for him to fill up that building and stabilize it than he thought it would. Did you guys have any challenges like that with this project?
Yeah, it did take us a little while to get stabilized because we took possession of our property in January, and trying to find tenants and moving tenants in January, February.
Yeah, for American friends, Edmonton, Alberta is quite far north and very cold in the wintertime. We're talking Alaska cold.
Right. Yeah. It's cold. And
plus, it was the beginning of the pandemic when you bought this thing, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was the beginning of the pandemic. Demand was there, but it wasn't quite the high demand that we were led to believe. So we had to lower our rents a little bit. So we're not making quite as much as we expected, but we're still cash flow positive, and that's the main thing. And two, we were able to do a fast refinance after we got the building stabilized.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So if you don't mind sharing some big broad stroke numbers, William, like even if it's just like percentage wise, since you bought that property 3 years ago now, pretty much, right? And you've got to rent it out, you've got it stabilized, you've been able to go in and refinance it. How much overall did it increase in value from the time that you bought it to today, 3 years later?
Yeah, when we bought it, it was valued at about $1.6 million. And during the refinance process, we had to get the building reappraised, and it actually reappraised at $1.85 million. So in 2.5 years, we've gained about $250,000 worth of equity.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. Yeah. So you're able to refinance and get a good chunk of your initial equity out of there. I imagine there's probably still a bit in there, but you got a good chunk of it back out.
Yeah. Yeah. We were able to pay back our investor, all of his initial investment, and we took a good portion for ourselves, but we also left a reserve fund in behind because even though it's brand new construction, we always want to have a reserve fund because you never know whether if there's going to be a roof leak or a pipe break or a flood, something like that. So,
No, well said. So, William, are you guys self-managing your properties or do you have property management in place for those?
We have a combination. Uh, the property up in Edmonton, and then our property that we have in northern BC are run by property managers. And then we have a couple of properties here locally that we manage ourselves. So we have
Yeah, it's
a
just a lot
bit of a
easier to be
hybrid.
hands-on
Yeah,
in
exactly.
your backyard. Okay,
Yeah.
very good. Now, if I recall correctly, you're also involved. You're still fully employed. You've got a pretty robust work schedule. How are you able to juggle things around and do real estate and work at the same time? Is that where the husband-wife power team comes into play nicely?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. My wife's a home-based realtor, so she helps out. She helps out during the day when I'm at my 9 to 5, and then evenings and weekends we spend talking about investments, looking at opportunities and things like that. And I'll be the first to admit there are times I have to take calls during my work hours because a property manager calls, "Oh, there's a problem with a tenant," or, "A plumber
I won't
called."
tell anybody, William. Don't worry.
It's fact of life, fact of life. It's all about the balance. It's all about the balance and setting yourself a schedule and keeping yourself accountable to that schedule. To say, "Oh, I work 9 to 5, and then say from 6 until 9, I can blank maybe 2 hours to work on something, or 3 hours, or it's just setting a schedule and keeping to it. That's the key thing I've learned over the years.
Yeah, that would be huge, wouldn't it? So it's a matter of having that discipline. Sounds like you and your wife have kind of got a division of labors, so you know what you're responsible for. She does what she's responsible for. You stay in your own lanes. Have you found that this whole real estate game has brought you closer together, or has it caused some conflicts? Things always cause conflicts, but I mean, in general.
It's definitely brought us closer together because we bounce ideas off each other and we inspire each other, inspire each other. If one of us is having a bad day, the other one's there to support and help out, and then we're always willing to jump in for the big storm. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I've just found typically couples that are investing together, it's one of those things that really brings them a common goal, which really helps them to strengthen their relationship, right? Because they're both working towards the same thing instead of each one doing their own thing. So, no, that's wonderful. Now, having property management taking care of your properties for you at a distance, have there been any learning lessons along those lines over the last few years, William?
Oh, definitely. The first couple of years of having on-site property management and being so far away, we weren't following things as closely as we should, and a couple of things kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. But once we saw those gaps, we were able to close them up, and now we've got really good communication with all of our property managers. They send us weekly, monthly updates, quarterly updates, and they're always available, and they're always on top of things. We never have to worry about things now.
Well, that's wonderful. So, did you have to change, for example, with the 8 unit, did you have to change property management, or did you just have to kind of get things tuned in better with them?
Yeah, we just had to tune in and make clearer expectations through our communications because we were recommended these property managers through one of our other investing groups, and we had a good initial meeting with them. But again, a lot of it was like this over Zoom and then over phone calls, stuff like that. And we only saw them for like a couple of hours the first time face to face while we were doing the final walkthrough right before possession. So that was the first time we actually met them. So.
So it's a matter of, okay, just getting that clear communication, those clear expectations of what you're looking for, plus them being upfront with you guys about how much they can deliver, right? So
Exactly.
because they've got lots of other customers as well. Okay, very good. So, William, what would you say that you and your wife have going for you that's kind of your special ingredient, your secret sauce? What is it that you guys feel like you do really well when it comes to real estate investing?
When it comes to real estate investing, myself, I find that I'm extremely stoic in stressful situations. I'm able to keep a very cool head. I can look at
That's
things
good.
very analytically. I keep the emotion out of it 99.9% of the time. I'm not 100% perfect as no one is, but that's really my secret sauce, is just being able to look at things succinctly, professionally, and keep the emotion out of it.
So you don't get flustered too easily.
No, no,
That's
no,
huge, man. Yeah, that's
no.
great.
And my wife is extremely personable. She can just strike up a conversation with almost anyone, and anyone, and the people talking to her are feel like you're talking to a kindred spirit sometimes. So that really helps in dealing with accountants and property managers and banks and stuff like that, is having that open communication as well. So.
Yeah, okay. No, that is great. And it sounds like the two of you complement each other very, very well. Okay, so it sounds like you got some bigger plans for moving ahead. What are you guys doing to find these kind of properties? I understand that your wife is a realtor by trade, so has she got kind of a little bit more of an inside scoop on some of these things, or how are you
Yeah,
guys finding deals?
she has access to two deals that are on the open market. But we've also joined a whole bunch of off-market investing groups through Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and stuff like that. We follow, and we have a good network of connections. And we're just building our deal flow system to be able to have deals sent to us, so we can crunch the numbers and then say yes, no, or maybe put them in the file for 6 months, and then maybe 6 months later we can potentially revisit if we think it's overpriced or it's in a bad area or something like that. So we're building a good system to be able to draw deals to us.
Well, that's wonderful, William. Well, hey, you guys have done a lot in a pretty short period of time. Long term, what are your goals when it comes to real estate investing? Do you guys kind of have a target in mind as far as number of units, number of buildings, what and time frame? What does that kind of look like for you guys?
I think our overall end goal is to have enough units in our portfolio, and a diverse enough portfolio where we can both just be able to safely walk away from our careers and just enjoy life and not have to work to enjoy life. We want to have that lifestyle freedom. That's our ultimate end goal.
Yeah, so you want to create a portfolio that supports you guys financially, and you want to have it managed by others like you are right now, and just basically manage the managers, keep a high level overview, tabs on things, and go from there.
Exactly. We want to be
Yeah.
the asset manager, not the boots on the ground and having to deal with tenants and toilets
Right. You
and
want
stuff
to
like
be able
that.
to find the deals, analyze the deals, get the deals going, get them tied up, get them going, get them properly stabilized and managed, and oversee everything, be the deal makers, but not the property managers.
Exactly.
Very good. That makes a lot of sense to me, William. All right. Well, this is fantastic. If somebody who's watching this would like to connect with you, William, where would you recommend that they go?
I would recommend that they go to our website. It's www.williamandmarilynclark.com. And the email address is invest@williamandmarilynclark.com.
That's a good website name. That's very good. Awesome, my friend. Well, it's been really good reconnecting. Congratulations on your success. And I wish you and Marilyn much continued success with real estate investing as well.
As I said, Dave, I appreciate you having me out here. I just want to put my name out there. I want to be out there. I want to be the support person, be the person that people want to be with. So appreciate the
Fantastic.
time.
All right, everybody, take care, and we will see you on the next episode.